Good morning. My name is Andrew Wormelskirchen. I go by Worm. I'm the middle school pastor here at HPMC. I'm really glad to be in here today. I don't know about you, but I have just grown over the past couple years like an affection towards movies and towards TV shows. I don't know why. I just love cinema. And the reason why is because since moving to Dallas, I've got to watch some better movies, but I want to tell you two of my most favorite movies. Can I do that? You okay with that? Okay. My first movie is this. It's Fever Pitch. Okay? Now, I know that you're thinking, what the heck, Worm? Like, you just told me that you love cinema, you love art, and that kind of stuff. Well, let me tell you. I like Fever Pitch because it follows this man that is portrayed by Jimmy Fallon, one of the coolest comedians ever, and this woman that's portrayed by Drew Barrymore, like the sweetheart of cinema, not Julie Roberts, but Drew Barrymore, okay? And it's about these two people that they meet and they fall in love, and then there's like this stuff that's going up against Jimmy Fallon's character. It's he loves baseball. There are baseball fans in here, right? You know, we're about to get to fall where there's about to be a World Series, there's about to be lots of this stuff, and it can pull you and it can distract you from work. And I love the Kansas City Royals, and unfortunately last year, you know what happened to them. Bottom of the ninth, they didn't make it. That's my first one, right? My second favorite movie of all time, please don't laugh, it's Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, okay? Now let me tell you why I love this movie so much. I love this movie because I love vampires and I hate zombies. Just the portrayal of like zombies just like just walking towards me just kind of sickens me. But there's something about these two movies that I really like. And the thing that I like about these movies is it portrays these people and they have all this noise, they have all these distractions, they have all these things that like go up against them, but yet there's something inside of them that makes them want to turn, that makes them want to do something about what they're going up against. See, this character that Jimmy Fallon plays in Fever Pitch, he's going up against baseball, this love that he's had so much, but then like he has, it's a silly decision, baseball or a girl, right? And the same thing for Abraham Lincoln in Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. He has to decide whether he really needs to like help this union, this country, like be rid of all these vampires. I don't know why. It's just something really captures me. And I would go as far to say that I think that you have the same problem in your life too. That there's something inside of you, there's something, there's this noise, there's this distraction that's kind of pulling you and keeping you from doing or making these decisions that you need to be making. And I think there might be somebody in this room, even in your row, that has to make these decisions. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about all this noise, these distractions, these things that we go up against. So let's pray first. Father God, we're so grateful to be here. God, we ask that today, whatever you have for us, that our hearts can be open, our ears can be open so that we can hear you, that we can be inspired by your Holy Spirit, just move within us. God, the things that we hear today, we ask that we can truly form a great foundation to what it means to go up against the noise, go up against these distractions. God, we love you so much, and we ask that you are with us through this morning and every day after. Amen. So we've been in this series. This is our third week of this series called Continuum. And Continuum is this like really hard concept to really gravitate towards, but it's like this thing of whenever God set something in motion, like this goodness in the very beginning, and it's us participating in it. And I think the question that we really want to ask throughout the rest of the series is, how do we participate in God's continuum, right? And so just imagine with me, right? Whenever God created this world, there was this void. There was silence. He created the waters. God waved a hand over the waters, and this wind just like went. These ripples started to happen in the waters. God moved hands up, and out from the ground created mountains. And there were these things that grew out of the ground, and it was good, and it was trees, and there were flowers, and they were beautiful. God created these things that would walk on the earth and things that would fly in the sky. And if you don't think they were dinosaurs, then you're wrong. And then he started to create, I'm just joking, okay? Then he created humans. He created this man, and then he created this woman, and there was this goodness. There was this thing that happened that was good, and it was still silent. And somewhere down the line, there was this decision that they made. They went to a tree, and they took this apple, and they ate from it. And from that moment, all this noise happened. Brothers fighting against brothers, brothers killing brothers, nations fighting against nations, all this discrimination, all these things happening in the world, things that we could not even think of imagining, but yet it just happened because all of this noise, all of this stuff just started to happen from the moment that this apple was taken off the tree. And then some point in this continuum, some point in this timeline, you were created. Right? You were born. Whether you were born of a mother and father or whether you were adopted, somebody held you and looked you in the face, and then you met somebody. After you met somebody, then you grew up a little bit. You started to crawl. You started to walk. You started to talk. You started to talk back to your parents. You went to school. You learned how to do math. You learned how to read. You learned how to meet new people. You learned how to play with people. You know how to interact with people. You started making your own lunch. You started making your own ideas and your own opinions of things. You grew up. Maybe you graduated from high school and took a gap year. Maybe you went immediately into college. Maybe you graduated with high honors and then you started in your dream job. Maybe you're still waiting for your dream job. You see, there's all this stuff that's happening, and then today you woke up. Maybe you woke up 10 minutes ago and just walked in. Maybe you woke up a couple hours ago, you read this morning's news, and you're like, oh my gosh, the noise that's happening here. You got in your car, maybe you walked here from your front door, you stepped on the gravel, you started to hear these things, these birds, these cars. You walked here, you came into the door, now you're sitting here. See, this continuum is so weird. Whenever we just take a look at our life, it just goes by like that. And sometimes whenever I think about God's continuum, whenever I think about or hear about this, I may think that my life is so insignificant. And here's the deal. I don't think that that's what God wants us to feel. I don't think he wants us to feel this doubt or feel this guilt or feel so insignificant. I don't think that he wants us to believe that. I think throughout the Bible, there have been people that have felt that way. I think there have been people that have felt this way for many years. Throughout this series, we've been looking at a character named David. And we could have looked at any character, but we decided to look at David for this series. And one of the reasons why we started to look at David is because we could see that this little boy, this man named David, from just the start, had like something different about him, something that was so different that God had placed in him that really changed what we have been talking about for thousands of years. And today we're going to talk about a story that if you grew up in the church, you may know of. And if you didn't grow up in the church, that's okay. But there's a story of David going up against a really tall man named Goliath. See, whenever David was a boy, he had just got anointed, and he started to come into the care of this man named Saul. And Saul, one day, he took out these people to a hill that was across the valley from the Philistines. And across that valley, there was this man that stood 9.5 feet tall, and his name was Goliath, and he was making all this noise. He was shouting across the valley, and he was saying things that the Israelites really didn't want to hear. It's because he just wanted power over these people. He just wanted to have something over these people and destroy them. So one day, Jesse, David's father, sent David to the battlegrounds, and he said, "Hey, David, I need you to go check on your brothers because I'm really worried. I just want to know how they're doing." And so David went to the battlegrounds. He went to this hill where Saul and the Israelites were. And as he went, he saw that there was this man across the valley that was shouting, that was saying, "I defy the armies of God." And David looked and he had something stir inside of him. He had something that turned in this moment where he thought, this shouldn't happen. This shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be why we're going against battle, because of one man, this guy that's just making all this ruckus. And there was something inside of him that made him want to do something. So I bet there's something in your life that there's been something in your way that you've wanted to do something about. So this is where our story picks up today. In verse 33 of chapter 17, David went up to Saul and he said, "Hey, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to fight this guy." And so Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a boy." I feel like Saul just gives like this typical like adult answer to this boy. I remember when I was in fifth grade, I wanted to play pool on my grandfather's pool table. And I remember my grandfather telling me that I was too little, I wasn't old enough, because I couldn't reach over the pool table. I was going to hurt something. I was going to break something. This is kind of what Saul does to David. He's saying, "Hey, you're just a boy. You can't do this." And that guy over there, that guy named Goliath, he's been a warrior from his youth. He's been a warrior so long that he's actually developed these muscles that you could never even think about having right now, because you haven't been doing this for a long time. Goes on to say, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his sheep for his father,'" because David was a shepherd. "And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock," this is kind of crazy. Where would you be leading your sheep where both a lion and a bear was, right? He's leading through like the Dallas Zoo or something like this. "So he took the lamb and I went after it. After a bear or a lion would go and steal the sheep, I went after it and I struck it, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw." So awesome, right? I would catch it by the jaw and I would strike it and kill it. These things that went up against David, see, this noise, this distraction, these things that went up against David, he would go up against it and he would grab it by the jaw, strike it and kill it. Goes on to say, "Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of God, since he defied the armies of the living God." And it ends like this. "Then David said, 'The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of a bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine.'" So Saul said to David, "Okay, you've convinced me." He said, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." See, I think that there's been something in our life. I think that everybody can relate to this. I remember when I was in third grade, there was this boy named Shelby, kind of a weird name for a boy, but he lived right behind me, and I lived in North Kansas City at the time. I'm a child of divorce, and my mom had moved to North Kansas City, new school, new environment for me, and a place where I'd never really been before. And I just remember we moved, and whenever we moved, there was this kid named Shelby that was behind me, and he was just the biggest bully ever. I know third graders would be third graders, but he was just the biggest bully ever. I mean, he would like throw stuff at people, and I didn't want to associate myself when he would call people names, like names that third graders shouldn't really be saying to people. It was just so... I just didn't want to be around it. And I remember one day we were playing out in the playground, and I was just by myself, and I was watching this kid, Shelby, and Shelby took a basketball, and he threw it at a kid's face. And I was like, this has to stop. Now, I don't recommend what I did next. I really don't. I remember I went up to the kid, and I kicked him, and he fell over on the ground, and then I walked away. And then whenever I walked away, I just looked back, and all these kids, like, surrounded him and started kicking him, okay? Kick the bully while he's down. Again, I don't recommend violence. I don't recommend like going up against these things that are in our lives with just making a split decision. I think that there are things in our life that we just want to go and we just want to move over and we just want to take care in our life. Yet, I think that there's something else that's going on inside of us. See, whenever we make rash decisions, whenever we make decisions just like this to just go up against things that are in our life and we just want to make it right there, I think that there's something else that we have to do first. I think that we have to really look deep down inside at ourselves before we can really fix the things that are outside of us. See, the thing is, I think the thing for us is before we can really silence the noise, I think that you have to know what the noise is. I know this is something that isn't new or like generating some type of new inspiration, but before you know how to turn down the stereo, you have to know what the stereo is putting out, right? You have to know where it is. You have to know how to silence the noise, and you have to know what the noise is to actually silence it. See, I love photography. Like I said, I love cinema, I love movies, and I love all this stuff. And I love photography, and there's this really cool thing about Polaroid pictures that it's just so vintage-like. It's just so nostalgic. Every time that I look at a Polaroid or I look at a picture, I think sometimes about the person in the picture. I think about their name. I think about their parents, if they have parents. I think about their brothers or sisters. I think about if they have brothers or sisters. I think about their job. I think about the encounters that they've had with people. Sometimes I like to think about like what they're struggling with. Not just for like my own like morbid thoughts, but like just the pastor inside of me just likes to think. Because you wouldn't know it, but this is a picture of me. And this guy struggles with anxiety. This guy struggles with confidence. This guy struggles with actually knowing what the heck to do with his life. Like, this guy struggles with actually thinking that he's doing what God is letting him do, allowing him to do. This week I'm going to propose kind of a challenge for you. I'm going to propose that you take a selfie of yourself. And I'm going to have you just look at it every morning for a couple minutes. Whenever you look at yourself, I want you to think about what you struggle with. Whether that's anxiety, whether that's confidence, maybe it's thinking that you're not good enough. Maybe it's every single time you look in the mirror, you don't think you're gorgeous enough. Maybe it's the job that you want, you don't think that you're good enough for. Maybe it's that you can't write well enough. Maybe it's that you want to apply for a college and you just don't want to apply for it because you don't think you're going to get in. Or maybe you don't want to apply for that new job because you don't think you're going to get in. Whatever it is, I want you to take a look at what you're struggling with. Because I think before we can look on the outside and what we can do on the outside and with this world, I think that we have to really look on the inside. See, one of the things that David didn't do is whenever he actually went up against this man named Goliath, I think there's something really cool about him being a child, this teenage boy. There wasn't a lot that was really going on in his life. After he was anointed, he knew that he was this chosen one, this one that was going to grow up to be this king, this one to grow up and be the one that would eventually be somebody that was great. But he was only anointed by God. I think that first, before we can do stuff on the outside, before we can go out these doors, we have to really look inward into ourselves. So this week, what is that for you? What is that noise in your life? What is that noise that's like holding you back from doing what God is calling you to do? What is that noise in your life that is keeping you from participating in God's continuum? What is it inside of you that you need to silence? What is it inside of you that you need to ask God to silence for you? You see, once we do that, I don't think that we know the power of what God can do in us. This week, I just want us to voice it. My challenge is you just to voice it. Not to solve it, not to actually resolve something that's going inside of you, but to actually voice it. So before you can silence the noise, you have to know what the noise is. You have to know what's going on inside of you before we can actually move out of this building and actually know what's going on in this world. That's my challenge to you this week. Take a selfie of yourself. What's the noise going on inside of you? And next week we'll come back and we'll talk more about it. Let's pray. Father God, we ask right now that you give us the strength, the bravery. Just move past the noise. God, whatever noise is going on inside of us, whatever distractions that's keeping us and holding us back from actually participating in what you have for us, God, we ask that we're just able to find out what it is, just to voice it. God, not just to solve it, but just to voice it. God, in everything that we do this week, we ask that we can be people of love, of grace, and of people that can overcome this noise. But God, we ask that you can help us voice it, that you can help us pinpoint what it is that is holding us back from participating in your continuum. God, we love you so much, and we pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ, holy and precious and mighty name. Amen.